Would you turn with me tonight to the portion we read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6? Mark's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 31. And he said to them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. The background and the context of this text and our thoughts this evening are set earlier on in the chapter at verse 7 through to 13, where our Lord sent the disciples out by pairs. He sent them out and gave them authority and commissioned them to preach the gospel, to heal and to proclaim the message, particularly focusing upon the need to repent. They were not going out on their own. They were representing the Lord in all they said and all that they did. And the Lord quite clearly regulates their behavior, telling them where and where not to go. He restricts their activity, and he requires a report when they return. They are his ambassadors. They are going out in his name to do his work and to proclaim his message. They are going with his authority, and there is therefore no way that they need to drag their feet or bow their heads, apologize for what they've got to say, because they are heralds giving intimation of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. The pairs supported each other. When one was down, perhaps the other could speak. They were complimenting each of each other. As they went out, they could meet, possibly just for the sake of argument, two very conflicting extremes of reaction. On the one hand, they could meet hospitality. On the other hand, they could meet hostility. But the Lord is telling them that neither of these reactions and responses should deflect them from their purpose. Don't lose your focus. Don't lose your purpose, whatever comes your way, at either end of the spectrum. Don't be burdened either. Go lightly rigged for the Lord's work. And the whole basis of their mission was a simple but efficient and effective trust in God. They went out with a very heavy responsibility, with a great message. Yes, they went out to tell people to repent of their sins and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a heavy responsibility. Then it's a heavy responsibility still. And that responsibility was brought home to the people through this process of dusting the sand off their feet as they moved on. Anybody in that day would have understood clearly what it meant. Because the pious Jews, whenever they had to go into any kind of Gentile territory, and they were returning back to their own land at the border crossings, they would stop there, and they would dust the Gentile dust off their feet before they went into the Holy Land. They were saying and clearly demonstrating that the land of the Gentile was a heathen land. It was underneath divine displeasure. And therefore, by doing it here, they are conveying that same meaning to those who would not hear nor listen to the message that they brought in the name of Jesus. Heavy responsibility, then and now, to disregard what God is saying to us all. I wonder how they went out. What were their own feelings as they went out? For some of them, there might have been a degree of apprehension, a degree of being scared in the work. For others, there might have been another feeling of being quite excited about what was going to be done. But whenever they came back, the Lord, as it were, debriefed them and got them to speak and to tell of the things that had been done by them. They were excited about what they had seen, what they had done, what they experienced. They were excited about what they learned about God and putting God to the test and to the mark as they went out in His name. And in the midst of all of these stories coming bubbling out, in the midst of all of this excitement and noise and activity, there they were in a little group, and there were people going here and there round about them. And the Lord says, wait a minute. Come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. That vital emphasis upon resting. It's vital that we have it. We neglect this at our peril. Life today, maybe it's a feature of growing old, but life today seems to be becoming more and more hectic. The pace of life goes higher up a notch every year almost. And the pace of life therefore requires that we have a careful balance on what we're doing and where we're going. Because with the pace of life, it's so easily that we're captivated by the wrong things. We start digressing into areas where we shouldn't be going. Nothing wrong with them, but just we shouldn't be going. Wrong things. The vital need for rest from time to time then in the pace of life. It's there for us, round about us, year after year. There's a natural order in things, day and night. There's a natural order in 6 days and the seventh for rest. There's a natural order in the flourish and the growth of the summer and the dormant rest of winter. People today who attack and remove Sunday from that scheme of things are doing themselves no good at all physically, but especially spiritually. We need a rest. And the Lord is here mentioning it and drawing it to their attention. The Lord had great burdens. The Lord had great demands upon Him. Great responsibilities. And you can see the mental, the emotional, the physical, the spiritual demands laid upon Him, and almost we could say the drain of His resources. He recognized the need to withdraw then. His own life went at a fearful pace. He met so many needy people, and each one of them had demanding problems. It was vital for the Lord then to have a good foundation for all of that busyness of life. And you find Him at the beginning of Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and 35. What did He do but a great while before daylight? There He was, up in the morning, alone in prayer, and the disciples followed Him. He knew that need for a good foundation and rest. He knew it for Himself. And now He's doing the same for the disciples. Come you yourselves apart and rest a while. That's what they needed. That's what the Lord did for Himself. That's what we need for ourselves also. Let's look at it then. Very simply and briefly tonight. First of all, there is the need for a retreat. There is the need for a retreat. And then in the retreat, there is rest and receiving. And when the retreat is over, there is a return to the work. Let's go back to the beginning then. First of all, there is a retreat. Here is the Lord calling these disciples to be with Himself, especially after this intense spiritual work. To make time to be with Himself. All we've got to do is look out the windows. All we've got to do is think of today. Loch Arbor has a high rainfall. That rain washes the goodness out of the ground. And if there's going to be any growth, it must be constantly replaced. We need to feed the ground to feed the plants. The Christian is living in a society that is hostile and is constantly being drained. And therefore we need constantly to be strengthened by the Lord. We need this retreat. We need to retreat privately, just one-on-one, just you and your God, me and my God. That's what we need. It's vital for us because we can only be effective, and our effectiveness is measured by the time we spend alone with the Lord. Remember what Peter, one of the disciples, he followed the Lord afar off, we're told. And when we follow the Lord afar off, we fall into the same pits and troubles as he fell into. We're quickly defeated, we're denying, or we're doubting the Lord. We need to be alone with the Lord in private, ourselves receiving from him. But on top of that private, there is also the public gathering together. When we gather, we have this gathering in the Lord's name. The old bell of a past age when nobody had, well, very few had watches. The bells summoned people. It's 11 o'clock, the bell's ringing. And that was what took people to church. Summoning us to come and to praise the God, our God. And on a Sunday, we examine ourselves. We recognize what God has given us, and we come to worship and to thank him for it. And as we think of what God has given to us, and as we take time to do that, so there is a stimulation of our love in response to his. But there is also a stimulation of our faith and our trust in him, that as he supplied this and that and the other for us in past week, when the need arises in the next week, he will supply it also for us. Coming apart to worship, but to be strengthened also. Remember what it says in the prophet Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And there in Isaiah 40, the context is of people who thought that, well, we're nobodies. God has passed us by. God's not concerned about us. And they thought that their life was insignificant to the Lord. But there they are told, no. As we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon him, he gives power to those who are weak. And those with no might, he increases with strength. Daily, we can be run down. We can be oppressed. And we have a problem keeping our enthusiasm. We have a problem just simply keeping our light burning. We have a problem marshalling arguments to resist those that are laid against us. We saw that in the reference there in our intimations to David Robertson countering the Dawkins book. We need to wait upon God to marshal our spiritual strength and arguments. And one way that can happen is through the public worship in this way. The Lord can speak to the minister and the preacher, giving a passage and a message which sometimes the minister just is at a loss to explain. Why this passage and this text today? And even in the preaching of it, there's still no clarification, and perhaps it's standing at the door. Somebody says and speaks and says, well, look, that was exactly what I needed today. And you realize that you're an instrument in the hand of the Lord speaking to somebody through the public worship. Somebody that needs this message tonight. a retreat privately, a retreat publicly, a retreat also in the prayer meeting. That spiritual oasis that we have in the middle of the week. Oh yes, people will see us going on a Thursday night or a Wednesday night, whatever night it is. And they might just have a wee smirk and a smile, and behind it there's the question, well, what do they think they're achieving? What do they think they're going to get and achieve by gathering together there for an hour or an hour and a half on a Thursday night? Sometimes even in ourselves, we've got to drag our spirit there to the prayer meeting, but to the prayer meeting we go. And as we obey the Lord, so often we find that although we come out of duty, the Lord quickly changes it into a delight for us. And in that meeting, we hear Him speak to us, and we're strengthened to go on in His work. The retreat, so many different other aspects we could bring out of it. In times of trouble, in times of weakness and frailty, in times of temptation, in times when we're on the mountaintop or in the valley bottom, times when we're under pressure, that's the times when we specifically and especially need the strength of the Lord. And we need from time to time to be alone with Him to marshal our spiritual strength, ready for these times of battle that come. But even on top of that, just think of ourselves as human beings. All of us with different characters. All of us with different resources and aptitudes. Some of us can work hard doing the garden. Some of us can work hard reading a book. All of us with different faculties and abilities. But at the very best, we are earthen vessels carrying a great treasure. And we all have limitations. Up and down. Think of Elijah. There he was, standing alone, confronting the nation, 850 of them, on Mount Carmel. And he had the answer to prayer in the fire coming to consume the sacrifice. Living on his nerves, living on his adrenaline. But he was a human being. And he was drained and he was burning himself up. And he had to wait on the Lord to retreat, to renew his strength. We're sinners. We've got the dust of the day around our feet. We need to go and be alone with the Lord to wash that dust off, to make us effective again in his service. A retreat. Come apart, he says to them, to us. But what else? He says, come apart and rest a while. Rest and receive from him, because he is the shepherd of our soul. He has come to minister to people. They that water will themselves be watered, says the book. We've noticed and spoken about Elijah there a moment ago, and we speak about burnout. When somebody is just burnt out totally, completely. That's the way Elijah was going fast. The wires were tight and the wires were hot in his life. He was so excited about Carmel, and yet when the pressure came off, when everything went flat, he also was flat and exhausted, worn out. He wanted to die. That's the degree of depression that he had. And what was God's cure for him? It wasn't a spiritual conference. It wasn't a book. It wasn't getting this, that, or the other. It was old-fashioned. Have a sleep. Get some rest. That love and care of the Lord to Elijah, that Elijah needed. Rest and receive. Sometimes we can be cold and unfeeling. We can, as the pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, we can sometimes lose something of our Christian experience and inheritance along life's way. Sometimes we can become unfeeling and lose some of the joy. We've failed perhaps in an important area. And the Lord takes us alive, takes us apart, and takes us alone to minister to us in these areas that He knows we're defective in, to refresh and to revive our devotion to Him. We might feel that, well, we've been at the work for so long and we're seeing nothing for it, and we just feel like throwing the towel in and just giving up and walking away. We're no use. Someone else can do it better than I can. And we need to rest and receive from the Lord. We need again to listen to Hebrews 12 and 2, where we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses and testimony. And we have at the front of the queue the testimony of our Lord Himself, despising the shame, despising every obstacle, looking for the joy that was before Him. And there is the example for us to follow, to get alone with Him. See what He did, how He did it, how He lived. He didn't give up. He didn't walk away. He went through it. The high calling, the great responsibility, the great glorious message we've got, these are the things that the Lord again breaks down and reveals to us. And He specially comes with His love and His care to give us a word of encouragement. Our needs are so varied. Remember what He said? There He was about to leave the disciples at the very end of John 16:33. He was about to leave the disciples and He could see that they were all worked up. He could see that they were apprehensive about parting company. And the Lord says, "Peace. I have overcome the world." What a tremendous comfort that would have been, just that little phrase, to know that Jesus Christ is supreme sovereign. He has overcome the world. Or again, 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There is no temptation that has taken you that man cannot resist and overcome. There is nothing too great for you." That's the measure of exposure the Lord has in dealing with us. We are never ever put beyond our resources or tested beyond our abilities. Yes, we're in a battle with temptation, and we might from time to time think that that temptation is intense, perhaps even think that it's too much for us, but God says, "No, it's not. My grace is sufficient for you." A word of encouragement. When we're there resting and receiving, we simply have three things before we move on. First of all, we have a renewing of our vision. You know the way in which we can develop tunnel vision? When we're going through life from day to day, we get blinkered, we get drawn down, there's this has got to be done, and nothing else is going to get in my way, and we get looking narrower and narrower and narrower. Fear grips us. We lose our balance. And then the Lord takes us alone. And again we see the panorama of grace. We see the greatness of our God. We see something, again go back to the Old Testament, again to Isaiah 40. There we see the puniness of man. Man, what is he? He's big when we're judging him against ourselves, but when you judge man against God, he's like the dust of the balance. We get things in scale and proportion. He's puny. We renew our vision. We rekindle our love. Love that's gone cold. A resolve that has withered because we've been at battle all the time. Life, day after day, saps us, draws us down, exhausts us. And we've got to get alone with the Lord to realize again and afresh what He has done for us. The way in which He has loved us and cared for us to such an extent that He went to the cross. He suffered and died there that I, you, we might be forgiven. Look at what He experienced. Don't let the world crush these things out of your thinking. Don't let the world distract you from these spiritual realities. Yes, oh yes, there's this, that, and the other that's got to be done. But just for a moment, put them at arm's distance from you. And think of the love of the Lord our God to us in His Son. Come ye apart and rest a while. Renew your vision. Rekindle your love. Realize your privilege and rededicate your life. We are fellow laborers in the vineyard. We are His. We don't do this on our own authority, on our own desire or whim. We are under orders. And if we're under orders, then we have a great privilege of serving our God and our King. And when we go in that frame, then we have a legitimate right to look to Him for all we need. God's work done, God's way won't lack God's support. Brother Andrew, we can look to Him, and He will provide what we need. We're never sent to the war at our own resources. Renew, refresh, receive rest. That's what we need. That's what the Lord was doing to these disciples. And then one last thought. Yes, they needed to retreat. Yes, they needed to receive. Third, they needed to return. He says, come you apart into a desert place and rest a while. It wasn't permanent. The Christian faith is not a monastery. It's not secluding and putting ourselves away in a building without any contact with the world. No, we get in touch with people. We get in touch with the Lord first and foremost, but then having received from Him, we go and share it with others. The illustration I've used so often. When the glass is full to the top with the Lord, the slightest shaking of it, and what is that spills out? Not us, but the Lord. Return a while. Get back in contact. There is so much variety in the Christian's life. There's no one message, there's no one action, there's no one activity that should constantly and exclusively dominate our life. There's got to be a balance between the different messages, the different work, the different labor. And there is what we are to be, in contact with the world, bringing to the world the message they need to hear. We must go back into the battle. Even from the Sunday time as we spend here together. We've got to go back into the battle for tomorrow. We've got to take up cudgels and speak for the Lord and witness for Him. But we do it drawing on what the Lord has given to us today. Think of these people as we close. They had been in a mission. From that spiritually intense work, oh, what estimate they would have, what testimony they would have, what examples they could share of the providences of God, of the answers to prayer they had, of the way in which the Lord opened things and opportunities for them to speak. There was this farmer's market. Oh, there was this pottery shed. There was this, there was that, and the other. All of the different examples they could now marshal to themselves so that when they were next in a sticky situation back to the wall, they could think, yes, the Lord helped me there and there and there. And now that I'm back in the world, now that I'm back working and battling, and the similar situation arises, I know who I can turn to. He helped me in the past, and He won't let me down now. Drawing on the resources and the strength and the experience of the mission, yes. but also drawing on the strength of the time spent with the Lord. Nobody can forget easily or quickly when the Lord draws side by side with us. You think of the men on the road to Emmaus. There they were, downhearted and dispirited. The Lord came into their company and he wasn't recognized, and from the beginning of Scripture to the end, he opened to them the passages concerning himself. And we're told later on that their heart burned within them. That's the effect time spent with the Lord had on them. Can't easily forget it. It makes a permanent mark. It makes an indelible imprint upon us. And so when we spend time with the Lord as they spend time with the Lord, we quickly remember his words and his ministry to us. When he takes us alone and aside, maybe just for 5 minutes, maybe just for a moment through the week or through the day, and the things of heaven become precious and the things of the world go to the side, and we receive the balm upon our soul when we're weary and we're frail. And there's a breath of heaven comes to lift our hope and our spirit. And we're made to see the things of eternity clearer, brighter, and precious. Then we go out to do great things for the Lord. Daniel 11:28, they that know the Lord shall be strong and do exploits. There are times when we need to be up and working. But remember the two sisters, and they balance each other out, and they give us a balance in our own Christian life. Martha. Oh, Martha was up and doing. And there are times when we've got to be like that. But there are times when we've also been like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus and drinking into our soul what he's got for us to strengthen us, to renew us, and to send us out afresh for his work. Come you apart and rest a while. Yes, there is that rest. But we must say before we close that there is important element of that rest for ourselves and trusting in him as our Savior and our Lord. That's the beginning of that experience. That's where it all starts. When we know him and we know his rest given to our soul for the sins we've committed. And when we go on with him from that experience, day after day, from time to time, as it's appropriate in his wisdom. So he says to us again and again and afresh, come ye apart and rest a while. Let us pray. Gracious God and Lord, as we draw near to thee again this night time, we pray that thy word might be sealed to our heart and to our soul. We pray, our Lord and our God, that we might hear thy voice speak to us. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst still us from all the busyness of life and enable us to switch off the voice of the world clamoring for our attention, that we might hear the still small voice of our God speak with us. And we pray, Lord, that what we've received from thyself this day might strengthen us in our service for thee in the days that follow. Deal with us graciously, O Lord. We bless thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy grace. And we pray that in all that we've rendered to thee, we remind ourselves that we are still sinners in need of forgiveness. Deal with us, therefore, in Jesus Christ, thy Son, for we ask it in his name. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 106. Give praise and thanks unto the Lord, for bountiful is He. His tender mercy doth endure unto eternity. God's mighty works, who can express or show forth all His praise. Blessed are they that judgment keep and justly do always. Remember me, Lord, with that love which Thou to Thine dost bear. For Thy salvation, O my God, to visit me draw near, that I Thy chosen's good may see and in their joy rejoice, and may with Thine inheritance triumph with cheerful voice.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship, communion, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, rest upon the divine and would you all. Amen.